are holding at the end of Perek Beis, towards the end of Perek Beis, in the Sivat Shuva of the Maharal. And as we said, what the Maharal is doing here at this in this Nesiv, like he does generally in the Nesiv, is bring numerous Chazalim. And instead of just quoting them, like certain other Sforim do, the Maharal gives us a Havan, an understanding in them. But they're coming pretty rapid fire. And trying to understand them in terms of the categories that the Maharal has given us in Tshuva, and to be able to understand them and to expand them. So, here today, Mir Tashem, we're going to start with one of the more famous mamorim, one of the more well-known mamorim in the Gemara about Tshuva, in the string of statements that the Gemara has in the last parak of Yuma about Tshuva, a statement from Rish Lakish. The Rish Lakish said, "Gedolei Tshuva shezdoinos nasa lehem kishkogos." Tshuva is great because it makes even things which we did deliberately, like shkogos, like mistakes, as if we did them by mistake. Shenemar Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Alekecha Ki Chashalta Ba'Aveinecha. We're on Perek Beis, page Mem Aleph in the Hartman edition. Shuva Yisrael, do Tshuva to Hashem your God Ki Chashalta, because you tripped. Right? Chashalta is like tripped, slipped by accident, Ba'Aveinecha, with your sin. And the term Avon for a sin is interestingly mezidhu, says the Gemara, but the kori le michshol, but yet we call it tripping. So I don't understand. Did you do it on purpose, or did it happen by mistake? So evidently, the Gemara's resolution, Rish Lakish's proposed resolution of this anachronism in the pasuk kashalta b'aveinecha, is to say no, because you did tshuva. So once you did tshuva, you're able to say that aveinecha, what you did then, apparently deliberately, was really kashalta, was really a mistake. Right? We've referenced this, and we like we say at the beginning of Yom Kippur, when you say Kol Nidre, and you say, "Oh, now I'm clear, and I want all those things I do during the year, I don't mean it, it's a mistake, I'm confused." Right? And then we say, "V'nislach l'chaladas b'nei Yisrael v'agir agor v'sechom ki l'chol ha'am v'shkoga." It should be forgiven for everybody because it's like it was by mistake. It was done under some kind of a mistake. Okay, so that's what Rish Lakish says. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is that true? V'amar Rish Lakish g'day l'tshuva shezdoines nasalem kezachiyais. Rabbi Rish Lakish said tshuva is great because even the things that we do deliberately, they become like zachiyais. They become like merits. Says the Gemara, so that's better than saying it's like a shkaga. A shkaga is forgivable, right? Forgive and forget about it and forget about it. A zechus is chalk that up in the wind column, right? That's a positive thing. So what's going on? And what's the basis for that? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Uveshuv Rasha Mirishasai, when the Rasha turns away from his evil, Vasa Mishpat Utztaka, and he does mishpat utztaka, that which is just and kind, aleim yichye, or chayo yichye, he will live through them, which we understand, not just the mishpat and the tztaka, but even rishasa, he'll live through it all, it'll all stand in his stead. He'll live off of the good stuff, the quote-unquote the bad stuff, which was bad in the past, will now become his zechus. As this the Gemara, loy kosher, kamiyava kamiyira. It depends whether the tshuva is done me'ava, out of love, or whether the tshuva is done mi'ira, which is done out of fear. That's the resolution. Tshuva mi'ira, when the tshuva is done out of fear, so then the zedaynes becomes k'shkogos. It's as if you did it by mistake. Tshuva me'ava is the zedaynes become like zuchuyes. So, tzarech iyun, right? What does this mean? What's the nature of this distinction? So, we'll learn over the Maharal. We alluded once to a couple of weeks ago when we thought we were going to do Perek Beis in a day to the core of this, and again to some significant degree the Maharal is going to be plugging into the basic categories of tshuva which he's established for us, which we will go over at least two of them here as we look at this piece. Dover zehu mavur me'atzma itzdoinais nasa loishkogais. Says the Maharal, it's self-understood how it is that Zedainis, that the things he did deliberately should become Shgagas. What's the idea? So he says, and he says it elaborately here, enriched by what he said earlier in the parak, Ki lefi madregas umalas hatshuva, shu shavel Hashem yisbarach, asher hatshuva magaz al kisei hakoved. We said before, he's doing tshuva, he's returning to Hashem, the tshuva takes him all the way up to the throne of Hashem's glory. Ulefikach nechshav hachet shgaga. That's why the chet is considered a mistake. Doim elami shahaya bilti yediya v'kana achakach madrega al yayna shanasa chacham. He says, it's like somebody who didn't realize, and then afterwards said, I get it now. He becomes wise to it. When you get it now, you say, I can't believe what I did before, without realizing it, without knowing it. I did it by mistake. I know better now. And so, he says, that's level one. You know, it's said about, I think it was the Altar of Kelm. The Altar of Kelm used to do tshuva every day. Why? Not because of new avera, but he did tshuva every day because, according to the maturing and the deepening of his understanding that he had today, he said, "Oh my gosh! Yesterday I was so much more shallow. Yesterday I really didn't have it. I love that. I love that. I mean, I can't imagine doing tshuva every day for that." But the idea that life is that you, as you move along, as you grow, you actually grow in all dimensions. That everything you have a deeper appreciation of things. And, you know, yesterday's hasaga, you know, it's like I learned Parshas Vayera, right, when I was X years old, and then I learned it again, and then like it's just life is progress. That's what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to, you know, datan mitaysefes aleim. We're supposed to grow and grow and grow. So these are almost the terms which the Maharal uses over here. Of course, in light, this speaks to the Maharal's first concept of tshuva, which he's going to invoke a little bit more clearly here in his next words, which is that the avera was done because I wasn't really thinking. I wasn't really thinking. Now, that can be seen less as a general process of maturation and more as a, you know, I allowed myself to slip and not really think. And now I catch myself and I say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I slipped into that pattern and I didn't think. That's a little bit more what he speaks about here in these next couple of lines. And again, in more elaborate terms, remember that in the beginning, the Maharal spoke about tshuva as Ein Adam Chayte Elohim Kei Nichnas by Ruach Shtus. A person sins, it is a notion of temporary insanity. Because sin is driven by decisions that aren't made by the head deciding what's best for us. Sin is driven by desire, which clouds our thinking, which stops us from making decisions based on wisdom and that which is truly the best thing. And the code words for that is, of course, that this is a decision which is made by the chomer, by the physicality, instead of by the, whether you'd call it the tzura, whether you'd call it what the Maharal calls it here, and called it earlier as well, the madrega hanivdelis, that which is somewhat detached from physicality. If you remember our discussions back then about Adam HaRishon, and how, you know, that transformation from making decisions based on something which was more objective, and something which is much more connected to his physicality. When the person is contemplating and comes to the conclusions of tshuva, they're connecting to the madrega hanivdelis. Their thinking is aligned with that which is detached a little bit from the physicality. And then they look back from there, down at the world which they were in when they made the chet, and they say, oh my gosh, right? I was lost there. I didn't get it. I didn't understand. And that's why the chet mitzad ha-tshuva sha'atayim b'yis shkogo, ki ha-shkogo mitzad ha-chemer asher mevatel ha-sichli. It says the Maharal, again, using these terms, shkogo is mitzad ha-chemer. Mistakes can be attributed to the physicality. The more the person is caught in that, the less the person is using their das, the less the person is using their wisdom. And therefore, and even when a person's doing it consciously and not by mistake, but it is a mistake because it's being driven by things other than really my mind and my proper decision-making capacity. So says the Maharal, it's understood that that's tshuva. That's tshuva is rethinking, saying, I made a mistake. At the time I did it on purpose, of course. But now I realize how mistaken it was. I didn't understand. I wasn't coming from a perspective of das, from a perspective of real wisdom. I was instead just sort of stuck. What we would call insanity. Well, insanity has associations which are much more dramatic, right? But yes, Chazal used that term because they say what's driving you is not your mind. What's driving you is not your objectivity, your thinking. So to say that it becomes a shkoga is lesson one in tshuva, what we learned before. However, poses the Gemara a question, the Rish Lakish uses a difference that goes further. Tshuva is great because the things we do deliberately in the past as averis become like merits, like mitzvahs, things which we take credit for. Right? Now that not only contradicts the earlier statement, but requires a whole new understanding. So the difference is tshuva mi'ava and tshuva mi'ira, and explains the Maharal. The Maharal goes on and he's going to discuss this. I'm not going to read it all inside, but the Maharal's going to teach here his concept, his understanding of the notion of tshuva mi'ava. And I would say first thing to understand is that what he's talking about here is calling upon the second aspect of tshuva, which the Maharal taught us. Remember, we had three components. Component number one is this insanity thing. The second component is, in other words, where the person says, I made a mistake before, you realize. Which, of course, is true of anybody who wants to correct. It could be, a person could do this kind of tshuva of saying, now I'm thinking clearer about their diet, about their business decisions, about anything that we do. Right? It's just, I made a mistake, let me consider, reconsider, think clearer, make better decisions. The second component of tshuva was specifically religious, and that was to reattach oneself to Hashem. We came from Him, and we want to reattach ourselves to Hashem. Right? That's tshuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, to do tshuva, to connect to Hashem Yisbarach. We've distanced ourselves, and now we want to come close. The Maharal's concept of tshuva me'ava is, as opposed to tshuva me'ira, tshuva me'ava is returning to Hashem. It's returning to Hashem. And it's a davar pashut, right? In a certain sense, it's obvious. You think about it, it goes without saying. Tshuva me'ira is, oops, I made a mistake. I didn't realize what the consequences of this would be. It's not a good thing. Let me backtrack from it. Tshuva me'ava is, I want HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram Avinu, right, when the Rambam writes about Tshuva Me'ava, he speaks about generally about Avodah Me'ava, he speaks about Avram Avinu, who's called Oyavoy, who fulfilled the mitzvah of Avas Hashem in the greatest sense. This isn't just reconsideration of bad mistakes I made, poor calculations, unwise decisions. This is, I want to have the connection to Hashem Yisbarach. And that's Tshuva Me'ava.
How does that make it zechuyos?
So here teaches the Maharal his principle, which is that when a person comes rushing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from far away, that's a deeper connection and a deeper expression of the Ava than the person who's just there all the time. In English, we say absence makes the heart grow fonder. The Shalom Shalom La Rochaik V'La Korev, that pasuk which the Gemara darshans, right? Maharal is going to bring a Chazal which darshans it regarding those who join the Jewish people. The Gemara discusses it elsewhere for the idea of B'makam Shabali Tshuva Imdim. Afilu tzadikim gemurim ein mechalim lamed, right? Where says that somehow the Baal Tshuva is on a higher level than the person who never sinned, than the tzadik gomor. Says the Gemara, why? Because it says, Shalom, shalom, la rachayk v'la korayv. Hashem greets first the rachayk, the one who was far away, and then the Karev, the one who was nearby all along. Somehow, there's a greater power to the connection of the person who's coming towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the person who's just staying by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, if you didn't go away, you can't come back.
It's not fair to those who stay close by.
Ah, it's not fair. Life isn't fair. Right?
It's not fair
to those who aren't close
by.
Yeah, yeah. And there are those who speak about such cheshbainus, right? You have even in Chazal, and people will speak about, maybe that was part of Adam Arishon's cheshbon, right? That he wanted to claw his way back, you know, instead of just staying in Gan Eden, listening to instructions obediently, and just staying there, right? When we speak about that notion of he should do it with his bechira, right? Another way of saying that is, you know, not making it easy, putting himself, setting himself back, removing himself from Hashem, so now he can fight his way past the angels with their flaming swords, right? And make its way back into Gan Eden. People speak about, you know, the person who sins, l'hayreis derech tshuva, the person who wants to sin, so that he can, you know, go through the process of tshuva. But does that mean you should do that? No, it doesn't mean that the person should do that. But one has to, at the same time, respect that there is a certain intensity that's there for the person who's en route. Now, we can darshan about this, and we can talk deeply and philosophically about it, but before we do that, let's just take a step back and recognize that it's the reality. It's just the reality. The person who's in a process of discovery of something new, the person who's a Baal Tshuva, the person who's a Ger, the person who is, I don't know if I should use the term, flipping out. You know, the person who, you know, was frum all the time, Shomer Mitzvos all the time, but somehow is now, you know, their interest is piqued and they're upwardly mobile in their Avodas Hashem, they're really moving forward, making real steps. Can anything compare that to the intensity of the person who's just doing the same thing that they did before, even if what they did was not mindless? I'm not talking about somebody who's just mechanically going through the motions, even if they're not mindless, but there's still an energy and a power to that person's connection right now that the other can't touch.
Unless he's the altar.
Unless he's the altar, and yes, he's constantly, right? That famous story of the fellow who came to the Ger Rebbe, and he introduced himself, and he said to Ger Rebbe, so what do you so where do you learn? He said, I learn in Ar Sameach, but I'm not about children. So he said, why not? everyone has to be the Altar of Kelim, everyone has to be growing, but it's still, you know, that when you feel close and then you make a step to feel closer, it's more intense than if you feel close and you just say, okay, I'm close, I'm okay. But it doesn't compare, still, I think, to the intensity of, you know, the discovery. Are you, that something you wanted to say?
A couple of thoughts, but one of them is we're all swimming upstream. Now the idea that, you know, some people really they're there. It's
100%, 100%, 100%. That's the Ger Rebbe. Everyone has to be a Baal Tshuva. Everyone has to be growing. The Altar from Kelim. Every day, a person has to deepen their hasaga, deepen their appreciation. But you know that again. Think in these terms. Isn't it true? Person goes through the process. When it's the first steps from great distance, the rush, the sense, and I don't mean just, you know, adrenaline, the sense of reality, wow, right? I never spoke to Hashem before, and now I'm speaking to Hashem. You know, I get up in the morning, and I speak to him, and then I listen to him, I learn his Torah. It's unbelievable, right? Now, 10 years later, right, when the person, Baruch Hashem, is on that path, and they're still steiging, they're still growing, but it's not, they're still not going to be able to summon that same sense of intensity of feeling. I don't think so. Of course, nobody's there. The Tzadik Gomer isn't there. The Tzadik Gomer, if he's going to claim the mantle of Tzadik Gomer, he also has to be growing. But just it's intuitive.
Understood. But the second thought is that while we're all swimming upstream, and some people are the rush is stronger, and some people the rush is weaker, we're also all light years away from Hashem, right? So the idea that you have a flash of lightning, you say, "Wow, I think I understand something," but then it's gone. That's true for everybody, So some people are closer, some people are further, but bottom line is everybody's astonishingly far away.
Yes.
So I don't argue. It's not fair. It's not fair. This guy is. It's easier for
him. He will never have that rush.
They're all so far.
He'll never have that rush.
But
he'll never have that rush. He won't. He won't have that rush. It's hard to have that rush. Will I be able to ever summon again the rush of a first when I just do it better? I always think I can do better. I occasionally try to do better. But it still can't compare to the first. I think that's a reality. Huh? Am I? Does that? You must be special.
No,
I don't know you well enough yet. Huh?
I don't think it's unique.
Okay. But if I can comment on that and then ask a question. With respect to that, I think we're talking about two different dynamics. To the extent that we're just talking about growing, we're talking about not having turned away from Hashem. When we're talking about tshuva, doing tshuva presupposes an avera, which means it presupposes a turning away from Hashem. So even the altar of Kelm, if he's doing tshuva every day, he's still doing tshuva from a chet or an avera. Now, maybe he hasn't done many, maybe one from 10 years ago, but we're not talking about the fact that we're just in a sugya, not talking about averas. I'm learning Torah, and now the 100th time, I understand it better than the 99th time, and the next time, it's even one greater. That dynamic of we're all swimming upstream trying to get closer to Hashem is one dynamic, but if we're talking about tshuva here, tshuva and the rush, I think, that Rabbi Howard is referring to means the rush that comes with, I have turned away from Hashem through my taivas, through avera, and now to turn back to Hashem is a different dynamic than simply growing closer to Hashem without ever having turned away from it. Right? Aren't those two different dynamics that... No, they're not different?
I hear you. I hear you. I'm not sure that it's exclusive to that, though.
But how can we do tshuva if we learn...
You could do tshuva on bittul asay.
What's that?
You could do tshuva for not doing enough. Right? The Gemara says a person sees the difficulty coming upon them, so they should reflect. The first thing they should reflect to see is if they did anything wrong. They did any avers. Right? Then they should look. They should be telling an avoin bittul taira, which means it's not an avera that we're talking about necessarily. It's they could have done more. They could have done more.
Maharal hasn't talked about that yet.
Well, actually, right. We had the other day, maybe it was last week, I remember it was one of these recent weeks, where the Maharal spoke about the Lashon of the Pasuk, where it says, "Chol eis yuvugodecha levonim eshemen al reishcha al yechzar." Right? Your garment should always be white, and you shouldn't have a lack of oil on your head. Right? So he said, white is to make sure that you don't have stains, negative things, and Shem al Reshcha is that you should have all the embellishments, all the additional, all the positive things. That's the way I always heard what the author of Kelm said. It was not Avera. He wasn't doing Tshuva on Avera, Farkert. He was doing Tshuva for not having as much. Not having as much. And did he have that rush that he felt Rachaik and now he feels Karev? Maybe he did. That same thing.
It seemed like he was moving the target. Yesterday he thought he had reached it, and then today he realized, well, it's really just further away.
Right.
It's more distance to
cover. So then maybe he feels this sense of Richuk and coming close from Rachaik. Maybe. maybe. Right. But without that, on some form.
If I could ask just one question.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Speak of feeling that rush, as to say that it's from the mezad of the shah, that he's feeling that tremendous emotional rush, or just feeling that closeness. It also seems like what the model says, Kofi Akash Baruch Hu, there's a higher sense of meaning, a sense for somebody who has. So to me, it seems like it's a tremendous use of person's bechira to muster the energy to return. And that in itself creates such an energy that it means to Hashem Baruch Hu, as opposed to a person who has been at a certain level, and maintaining that level may take a struggle, but it's not garnering that tremendous amount of energy that's required to go back to a certain level.
Right. I think it's true. I think the staging here is, before even looking at this from a philosophical level, just looking at it from a practical level, from a level that we observe, is that when the person has the energy of movement, the sense of connection to what they're doing is very strong. It's stronger than when a person is just in a maintenance mode. On some level, it's just the sense of connection wanes. You're here already. Inertia keeps you here. Maral, let's look a little bit at what the Maral writes about this, and to see some greater depth here in line with what has been said. So again, it's the very bottom of Mem Alef. The person who sinned and returns to Hashem is in a sense more accepted and wanted by Hashem. There's nothing new if the tzaddik, who is his own person, who is bal tzaddik ba'atzma, who has his own connection to righteousness, that he's with Hashem. But the sinner who comes to Hashem, that's more. A person who comes from far, like the sinner who, that was distant from Hashem Yisbarach, and he comes now to attach himself. There's no question that in a certain sense, that sense of dveikus, of attachment, of closeness, is greater. Like you will see with fire, he brings this as a mushel. Kasher hu lamata umisnei el lamala. He says when the fire sort of jumps upwards, so he says, Vade dover zeb shul gedla divuk shiyesh la esh ala maila. Esh is really the highest of the four yasidais, afar, mayim, ruach, esh. And if the esh is down here, but esh climbs, esh always, jumps upwards. Right, so Hushavel Makayim Asher Yesh Leish Dveikus Lasham Lagamrei. It shows that that's really its place, right? That its place is that it's the highest, that it's the thinnest. It wouldn't come this great distance if the connection wasn't so profound. In other words, what the Maral says is like this: right? If you're here anyway, it's no big deal. I can make a simcha. I can make a simcha, and I have a few friends who I invite to the simcha. I have a friend who lives on Falstaff, and I have a friend who lives in New York. Right? They're both my friends. Maybe they're both equally my friends. The guy from Falstaff shows up. Mazel tov. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that you came to the simcha. It's so nice of you. The guy from New York shows up. What happens? Right. How profound is the feeling of connection to that person right now? Because it wasn't natural for him to be here. So the fact that he came demonstrates so much more of a connection than the fact that the other guy came. Now you'll say, but one second, it's not fair. Right? The guy lives down the block, and he is connected to me in the same way. So you're going to punish him because he lives down the block? I'm not going to punish him.
Does he go back to New York?
What? What do you mean?
The person who...
Well,
if he comes close, then does he become...
Hopefully, in this case, it's not a bar mitzvah, right? Which he's going to come and go. But if he comes and he says, this is my place, you know, that, in a sense, is a greater demonstration of the connection. What sometimes shows us, it, you know, we how many times do I think about, you know, when over the Yom Ne'iroim, the way you speak to a group of Jews, right, who have been in shul for the past 52 weeks, right, and what are you going to tell them a story about? You're going to tell them a story about some, I don't know, some person who, you know, didn't even realize that they were Jewish, and they converted. You know, and then they discovered that they were Jewish all along. You know, like all those stories which are out there, and there are plenty of stories. Pintalayid stories. You know, how the person came to do tshuva from the Maharaja, you know, in on the mountaintop, or you know, or whatever it is. Like, you know, like, what is it? What is it? Well, those are inspiring stories because we say, my gosh, that person was so far away, but yet something in them connected them to Hashem Yisbarach. Why? Because they're a Jew. So I don't have that rush, because I didn't have that. I wasn't that far away. I can't demonstrate it because, in a sense, I'm just like sitting here. I've been here for the past 52 weeks. But doesn't that show me how profound even my connection is? That's how we use it. That's how we use it. We say, you see from that how deeply connected a Jew is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'anoichi lo yadati. And I didn't realize it because I'm just in my track from last week, from last month, from last year. The distance, Rabbi Lazar ben Derdaya, the distance, the ability for a person to cross over oceans and mountains because this is their place, is such, shows so significantly the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you say, but it's not fair. Now I want to tell you something. Avraham Avinu was a great man. He was an incredible man. His love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so fantastic, was so complete, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he gave him quote unquote a test. Why did he give him a test? Why did he give him a test?
To actualize it.
Okay, so you could say to verify. So if I'm giving a class and I have 15 students or 25 students in the class, and I come in and I give the class, and then they leave and I leave and go our merry ways, so I have to give them a test because I want to give them a grade for the course, and I don't really know how much they know, so I give them a test and then I can know how much they know. But let's say I have a chabura with three people, we learn together for 3 hours every day, and it's a constant interaction. You think I don't know what they know? Of course I know what they know. And let's say I'm not a teacher of a group of three people. Let's say I'm God. Mm-hmm. You think I don't know what they know? With all the billions of people on the earth, you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to test Avram to see? Well, let's see. Is he really what he's cracked up to be? Says the Ramban, Hashem didn't have to test Avram to discover. But you know something? Even if I have that little study group with three people, at the end of a certain section, I might give them a test. Not because I need to know what they're doing, but because I know that if I give them five essay questions about this subject that we've just learned, and they're going to sit and write down the answers to those, write essays to answer those questions. Or if I give them 100 multiple choice questions, right, about what it is, and I really know where they're holding. But on the other hand, that means that for 3 days before, they're going to have to review the material and go over it to be able to go through the essays and then take the test. That in itself will be a positive thing. Because, of course, they knew it, but now they had a chance to express it. And so says the Ramban that the purpose of Nisayon, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Nisayon, was to bring it in Hakayach El Apayel, to bring it from potential into actual. And that means that even though Avraham Avinu was wonderful, he was wonderful before the Akedah, he was more wonderful after the Akedah. Because he had just done something so dramatic that it had to stir and strengthen. It's like your muscles. We can have a weightlifting competition to see how strong we are. Or we can lift weights to make ourselves strong. Because when we do it, right? So the muscles are not atrophying. Muscles are getting more vigorous, stronger, whatever, however it works. That's the difference. The person who's expressing, who's traveling the distance to come close to Hashem Yisbarach, how about the fellow who's close already? Fine, he's close already. But he's not traveling over those mountains. He's not having a chance to show the depth of the connection. He's there anyway. He doesn't have the chance to show the depth of the connection. And this is seen in so many ways. Right, he brings the medrash, V'haftem es hager, Zeshiniach mekaymai, Ubeis havaisa, V'uvo aleichem, Lizgayr, Lizdabik bachem. He left behind his place, his familial home, and he came to join you. V'haftem es hager. You have to love him. Look, what a tremendous demonstration of connection that is. And that's why it says, Sholem, Sholem, La'rochek, V'la'korev. Right, and Ram Maral explains with Diva, Sholem is closeness, is dibuk, attachment, shleimos, togetherness. The one who's rochek shows it so much more. And that's why it has to be because of an attachment to Hashem Yisbarach. La'aves Hashem alekecha uledav kabai. Attachment is always an expression of ava, that the person is going to be bringing himself back that way. That's the idea of the tshuva me'ava. That's the idea, that the person shows from such distance the great strength of connection that he has with Hashem Yisbarach. And that makes the distance a schus. In a sense, because he was so far, that's why this energy is there. It's a dramatic thing. It's an incredible, incredible thing that you have there. And we talk about it. Maral speaks about it many places, the movement forward. Right, when we talked about Shuv Yemecha Lifnei Misascha, Tshuva, the day before death, going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the movement in the direction that makes it so significant. Yeah. Somebody have a question?
So if that's the case, then if it really is the distance, then I guess I can understand why my observation before wasn't accurate, in that it may be easier than for somebody who is operating from from Chet to turn around and come back. The distance is greater to turn around and recognize what I did last time was Taivadik and therefore I was insane. For somebody who's far away, we know from experience it's maybe harder to come to that recognition, but once you do, you do get that rush naturally. But nevertheless, since by definition we are all distance from Hashem, obviously, because we're physical in nature, then each one of us, whether the Altar of Kelm or Moshe Rabbeinu or Avram Avinu, each one of us has such an insurmountable distance from Hashem that's available to us to cover, and made me more difficult once we're in a routine to recognize that distance. We may feel closer, and therefore it's hard to feel that chadasha or the chadshus that comes with, oh my goodness, I still have so far to go. But maybe that's what the Altar of Kelm was capable of doing, that
correct,
each day,
right,
he traversed such a great distance closer to Hashem that for him there was that rush of coming closer in a perceptible, tangible way that is so hard to do when we're used to it, but which is available to each one of us nevertheless.
I agree. Now, the Altar of Kelm had a great Talmud and a family member named Rav Dessler, Elio Dessler. Rav Dessler, one of his famous essays, one of his more famous, it's a whole series of essays which he develops, is on something which he calls Nekudas HaBechira. It's one of the more well-known teachings of Rav Dessler. Nekudas HaBechira, the point of choice where you exercise free will. Where he basically notes that, when we go in life, so there are certain points where we make steps. There are certain points which are points of struggle for us. And then there's the easy stuff. The stuff that we definitely will do, and the stuff that we wouldn't even contemplate about doing. It's sort of what you would call it as like the line of scrimmage of life. Right? This is where the ball is. This is where the action is. Right? A person could be at a place where it's not even a question for him eating kosher. It's like not even a question for him to eat kosher, right? He made that decision a long time ago. At this point, it's automatic, right? But he doesn't, trying to go to Daven Betzibur all the time, right? Sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. You know, that could be the person's, ongoing, issue, their ongoing struggle. And, Tikkun Chatzos is not really quite on the agenda at this point in time, getting up at midnight to cry over the Churban. Right? It's like way, 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 way down in the end zone. Right? It's like nowhere near. And, Hail Marys generally don't work in Avodas Hashem. Right? So for a number of reasons. but this is his point of struggle. Now, at some point in time, maybe as a result of a Rosh Hashanah, maybe as a result of an event, one day he might make some kind of a decision that incorporates into his daily routine that he gets up at such and such a time and he goes to daven with a minyan. Sometimes that happens, Rachmana L'Tzlan L'Aleinu, when a person has to say Kaddish. Right? How many people started davening B'tzibur every day when they had to say Kaddish, and they said, okay, now I got used to it, the person says, and they continue. It's hundreds of people, thousands of people. Right? That was the thing. And sometimes a person will make a decision, someone say, come on, we'll do it. Right? They get the right urge themselves, they get the right urging from the outside, and suddenly, davening Shabbos with a minyan becomes part of their routine. Right? Or somebody in their workplace needs to say Kaddish, and they rope them into the mincha minyan, to complete the minyan, and then it just becomes part of life. I mean, if you go to some of these downtown minyanim, you have people who aren't religious, right? Who just, they got called into a minyan, and now there are 25 people in a minyan, but still, it became their thing. Now they daven mincha. In the middle of the day, they go with the guys, and they daven mincha. When that guy goes to shachris, 6 months later, or 6 years later, it's not the Chudas HaBechir, it's already behind them. It's already behind them. They're not exercising Bechir at that point in time. But during those days, when they were making the move, that was the moment of Bechir. That was the moment of a rush. They were rushing forward on a certain front. And then, then the line of scrimmage moves. Okay, so they go to the minyan. Do they learn Torah every day? Whatever it is. The Beinonim L'Chaveira components of life. A person could have an issue of speaking, of yelling at their spouse, right? Or something like that, right? And every time, right? Sometimes it's not even a struggle, right? That's just the way they communicate. That's what they're used to doing, right? And then there's someone who says, I shouldn't be doing this, but every time it's a struggle. And then a person could somehow make the move where they successfully eliminated it from the thing, and now it's not a struggle each time. Says Rav Dessler, that's life. In other words, we're all people of free choice, but our free choice is really exercised in a very narrow, narrow, narrow strip of life. Most of life, we're not making choices, either because it's pasha that we're going to do it, or we can't even think about doing that. And there are those things where we're making choices. And now a big thing, that's like a big part when we talk about like Rosh Hashanah Tshuva, a big part of Rosh Hashanah Tshuva is to try to see if you can shift the line of scrimmage. Right? Now, again, one thing I always feel is very important for us to know. Well, people can hear this thing, this theory, and get very depressed. Like, say, I go to Shacharis every day, I'm not even exercising Bechir, I'm just doing it like a machine. But you know what? When you made that choice 6 years ago, or 6 months ago, or 16 years ago, that's the gift that keeps on giving. Everything that you do now, every time you go to Shacharis mindlessly, you go to Shacharis mindlessly as a result of a choice that you made mindfully. You said, I want to be having this as part of myself, part of my environment, part of what I'm used to. And trust me, even going mindlessly, it's a complete difference in life. Right? If we mentioned yesterday how Rabbi Yeshua's mother would bring his carriage to be by the door of the window of the Beis Medrash to hear the sounds, because that would change him when he was an infant, being brought by somebody else, not having any realization of what was going on. As much as sometimes we might walk out of davening and say, did I daven or didn't I daven? But we were still there, and we probably still got something. Right? And it's a big thing. So it's a result of it. So of course there are moments of bechira that we and things like that. And somebody like the Altar of Kelim, who his avodah was all mind, right? The Altar of Kelim was never routine, right? Routine was the absolute enemy. That's avodas Kelim, is mind over matter. It's absolutely what it is. So instead of for public consumption of Rav Dessler, of hey, look, this is the way it's going to be. He was like, no way. Mm. Today's new, today's fresh. So you could have this feeling. And every time you're making a leap forward, when the guy makes that leap, that's something like this. That's something like this. Shows the power.
Didn't I say about Aaron HaKohen that every day did the lighting of the menorah?
Shaloi Shina, yeah. That's what this Fasemes says. Hagit Shvachi Shal Aaron Shaloi Shina. It says Aaron did it to tell his praise at Leishina. Leishina simply means that he didn't change. Shkoyach. That's such a big, great praise of Aaron HaKohen. Moshe Rabbeinu told him this way, and he didn't bedafka do it the other way. He followed the instruction of Aaron. So the Sfasemes says, Shina can mean repeat. Can mean to change. And it can also mean, ironically, to do the same thing again. So he says, the praise of Aaron was that he never repeated. He never said, I got to light the menorah again. Right? Or I'm going to do what I did. Right? Every time, it was like he was doing it for the first time. And that kind of a thing. Excuse me if I presume that I'm speaking to a room of mere mortals. but I find it pretty hard to manage that. But halavai, yeah.
This all presupposes an upward slope. In reality, everyone knows that we have ups and downs. So maybe the downs and rises will have to be conscious of you go back, you have those windows of
retrieval. Right. It does. And, 100%.
Along those lines.
You go to davening today. Mm-hmm. Today's a new day. Go back to the moment.
Is there a connection at all between what we're discussing here in the context of tshuva and the fact that Kosh Baruch, who has a special affinity, affection for Somim and Almanos, and that the brokenhearted or those, I don't know, is there a connection between the two?
There's a connection between the brokenhearted of Tshuva and the brokenhearted of any other source of being brokenhearted. There's a connection between those two things. Without question, that Kodesh Baruch Hu likes the lowly, because a humility which a person has means that there are less barriers between him and the Ribbono Shel Olam. They're less living in a world of the illusion of their own great strength, and therefore there's more room for the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm not sure I see it exactly in this particular nakuda of the distance being overcome, but in the general sense, it's definitely there. Definitely there. Now I want to just follow through here with two things. First of all, I want to just ring you what the Maharal says in the next piece, which is just following in the explanation of this Gemara, formulated in a different way to include element 3. Okay, see, it's very important for us. Remember, we've identified these 3 elements of tshuva of the Maharal, and right, we're not finished yet. But as you approach these Chazalim, you see how he's approaching them from these perspectives. So we had Tshuva Meira is element 1, which is, I made a mistake, I wasn't thinking. Tshuva Me'ava was element 2, which is, I want to come back to Hashem Yisparach. Right? And the farther I travel, the more I show how much I want to, the more I actually exercise and stimulate that love. So the guy who comes to the Bar Mitzvah is going to feel closer to me than the guy who comes from New York is going to feel closer to me than the guy who comes from Falstaff. Right, because the guy from Falstaff just decided, instead of going to this minyan, I'm going to go to that minyan. The guy came from New York, is like, they have to do this, do that. It's going to feel stronger. The Maharal adds a second element in understanding Tshuva Me'ava. And I can't say I can explain to you or understand fully all of this, all of his explanation of it as Ava. But here he really invokes the third piece. And remember, what was the third piece? The third piece is that tshuva is return, meaning going back to the way you ought to be. Right? Remember the guy who has the seat at the table but doesn't get served anything? Hashem puts him at the table if he didn't do it. Why? I don't want you to think this has nothing to do with you. This is, has something to do with you. You had a seat here. You were supposed to have this. This is meant for you. Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek l'olam haba. And a person developing through tshuva is really just coming to the way they were created, going back to, as we learned last week, to the Kisei HaKavod, because he came from the Kisei HaKavod. Right? The souls are formed there. So it's really just going back to where it is. And he says, tshuva is going back to Seder Ha'olam and demonstrating Seder Ha'olam. You know, setting things right. It's going back to where he's supposed to be and going back to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it. See, Hashem made the world in a certain way. And that's the way it is, and that's the way it's supposed to stay. And any disturbance is, as in the language of the Mishnah, Hurati es masi, the kapachti es parnasasi. I messed up, and I clogged the channels. Right? If Hashem makes it, the fish get what they need. They make their parnasa, and this one makes their parnasa. And you don't find them, right, maxing out on their credit cards. Right? So why is it that for the fish, which are clearly not central in creation, they got it made, and we have to run around and make ourselves crazy and work so hard in order to be able to make it? Says the Mishnah, well, we went and we disturbed our place in the world. We changed things from the way they're supposed to be. Hashem made it. We'd have all the nice flowing pipeline of everything we could possibly need. The problem is, we went and we flushed a box of tissues down the pipe. You know? So you complain that it doesn't work. Right? You mess things up and you expect that it's supposed to work. So tshuva is setting it back right again. Tshuva is putting it back to the way Hashem made it. So the way he articulates it here is putting together the two, is putting it back to the way it was supposed to be, is putting it back to the way Hashem made it, is returning it to Hashem. Is returning it to Hashem. And that's sort of a way of, you know, completing the picture of the three components of tshuva as how they're brought together. So that's one thing that I wanted to just... So again, the Ayin Bazeh, you could look at it, it's the paragraph starting on Mem Dalet through Mem Hey, a little bit of Mem Vav. That's basically it. But I wanted to... The second thing and last thing I wanted to bring to you this morning is an incredible passage of a very famous story that the Gemara says in Bava Metzia, and you all know the story, but it's a story which has to be studied in connection with this Gemara. It's a Gemara in that Bava Metzia Daf Pei Dal Amud Aleph, and it's the story of Reish Lakish doing tshuva. Right, Reish Lakish here in the Gemara is philosophizing about tshuva. But Reish Lakish was a Baal Tshuva. The Gemara says, everybody knows the story, that Reish Lakish was a listim. He was a bandit. He was a bandit. Yom achad avikosachir Rav Yochanan biyardana chazir Reish Lakish v'shaver liyardana abasrei. One day Reish Lakish was swimming in the yard. Rav Yochanan, excuse me, was swimming in the yard. Rav Yochanan was an extremely beautiful person, and he was swimming. And Reish Lakish, who at the time was a bandit, saw him, and he went after him to attack him in the Yarden. I guess then they didn't do the steal the pants with the wallet from the beach. So Rav Yochanan, seeing this guy with these strong strokes coming after him, he said, you know, you should use your strength for the Torah. Amar Lei, so he took a look at Rav Yochanan, who was very handsome, and he said, Shufrach Lanashi, you should use your beauty to get women. Omar Lei, so he says, Yehadrizbach, Yehivnalach Achaisi de Shapira Minai. Rav Yochanan said, if you'll do tshuva, I'll give you as a wife my sister, and she's more beautiful than I am. Koblale, so Rav Reish Lakish accepted to do tshuva. Boile mehader, lasuye mani. Reish Lakish wanted to go back to the shore to get dressed. Loi motzi hadar. He didn't have the strength to go back to the shore. This guy who a minute ago was, you know, Mr. Muscle. Akriya, he couldn't go back. Right? And he was weak, right? So what's the idea? Says Rashi, Mishakibel Olav Ol Taira Tashar Kaichai. When he accepted upon himself the yoke of Taira, his strength left him. Taira Mateshas Kaicha Shaladam. This is a very rich Gemara. We're not going to have time to do it justice. I'm just bringing it to you here. So let me ask you a question here. Did Rish Lakish do tshuva meira, or did he do tshuva meava? Now, you can say with a snide remark, he did tshuva meava, right? He did tshuva because he was in love with Rabbi Yechman's sister, right? But what did he do? He did tshuva because of Hashem Yisbarach? He did tshuva for ulterior motives. Those ulterior motives could be because you believe a fire and brimstone speech. It could be because you believe a pina colada poolside speech about heaven. Right? And that's all yira. Or it could be because of any other ulterior motive. If it's not about coming because you want to be with Hashem, then it's tshuva meira. And that's why Rish Lakish did tshuva. Now, Rabbi Yechanan said to him, if you should use your strength for Torah. Does it strike you as funny that as soon as Rish Lakish then accepted the Torah, he had no strength? So one way to say it is actually he had strength. It just all went to Torah. Right? Another way to say it is that if I'm serving Hashem out of Ahavah, then I take all my strength and I use it. But if I'm serving Hashem even though I don't want to, but because there's something else that I want, then what do I feel like? I feel constrained, stunted, limited. You know, I would really rather be out here, but you tell me that you have such a beautiful sister, so therefore, okay, I will obediently come to class. You can only use your strength for Torah if you're interested. If you don't, then you feel like you're limiting yourself for the sake of the Torah. So think about that. Maybe that's why why Rish Lakish, when he ended up coming back, it didn't seem to be a demonstration of Chelech Le'Araisa, it seemed to be a demonstration of something else. Hara Akriya, the Asniya, the Shavya Gavar Rabba. He taught him Mikra, he taught him Mishnah, and he made him into an Adam Gadol. Yuma Chad Avat Mafli Yibay Midrasha. One day they were having an argument in the Beis Medrash, they were learning Maseches Kalim. They did that in those days. And it was Hasayef, Hasak, and Apikin, Aremach, Magaliyah. They had an argument, and Kalim talks about Kalim, different kinds of tools and utensils, when they're considered to be finished to be Makabal Tumah. So this Mishnah lists a whole bunch of things, including spears and clubs and all these kinds of things that nice Jewish boys shouldn't know what they are. So when are they Mekabel Tumah? They had a Machloikas. What is it? Rabbi Yechanan said this is when it's Mekabel Tumah. Rish Lakish said, no, you have to do this to make it Mekabel Tumah. Amar Leisa, Rabbi Yechanan commented, Listab listi usa yada. He said, I'm not going to argue with you. These are the tools of your trade. Right, you're a bandit. You know what you're talking about in this realm. Excuse me. Keep it out of the hand. My parents are calling me. I have to stay. Hello? Yeah. I'm just finishing a shiur. Would I be able to? Okay. Let me answer the phone. Okay. So you said you're a bandit. You would know. Rish Lakish did not appreciate it. Amar Lehi said, "Umaya Hanisli, Hasam Rabbi Karli, Hacha Rabbi Karli." He says, "What, you think you did something for me?" He says, "I was called the Rebbe there too. I was the Rebbe of the bandits. So now they call me a Rebbe. I was always a Rebbe." Amar Lehi, "Ahanilach da'kriven avtachas kan ve'ashchin." He says, "What are you talking about? You were a Rebbe, but you had no connection to Hashem. I brought you close to Hashem." Cholash Dati Rabbi Yechanan, right? Cholash Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechanan felt bad how Rish Lakish sort of like dismissed everything that he did for him. And so as a result of Rish Lakish making Rabbi Yechanan feel bad, Rish Lakish actually became ill. He became sick. And the world goes on and tells the story how he ended up dying. He ended up dying from this. Rish Lakish. And Rabbi Yechanan was devastated. Echnat bar Lakisha, Echnat bar Lakisha. It's a very tragic story in the end. But tell me something. How does this fit in with what we learn about over here? Did Rish Lakish really say, you didn't do anything for me because I don't care that I can't tachas kanfei hashchina? maybe you interpreted what Rav Yechanan was saying, is you're still a bandit. You didn't really change. But on the other hand, isn't what Rish Lakish did the ultimate simple expression of Tshuva Me'ava? He was able to learn a Mishnah differently because of his life experience that would the other guys couldn't understand. He was able to bring his averis and make them into zechuyes. Was Rav Yechanan really insulting Rish Lakish? Right, you know the fellow who plays guitar at the Malava Malka of the Breslovers, you know? I'm just making this up, but I'm sure there are 100 stories which are like this would be true. And he's got big long pace, right? And he plays guitar like no nice yeshiva boy would ever have been able to play guitar. Right? And those pace, right? Those are Tassa Veloyman Asui pace, right? He used to drive a Harley. Okay, and now he just cut away the ponytail, and he's got the payas left, right? And he plays guitar, and he's truly attached himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he feels a connection to Hashem like unbelievable, and through Nigan and everything else, right? And somebody says, "Wow, right? That man knows how to play guitar, right? I can still hear, you know." I don't know, the Beach Boys, the Grateful Dead, whatever it is. If it was driving a Harley, probably the Grateful Dead, right? You know, and I could still hear it. Now that could be an insult. And on the other hand, it could be,
For sure.
It could be an insult. It could be an insult, and it could be also. My gosh, look at this. The person came and took everything from his past, and now look how he's using it. Look how he's using it. And it's the big difference, I think, between healthy tshuva and unhealthy tshuva, let alone fancy stuff about ava, yira, zechuyes, avaynes. Because, you know, healthy tshuva doesn't imagine that the first 10 years or 20 years or 40 years of my life didn't exist. It imagines that they existed, and we use everything which we have now that we've figured out, this is the direction I really want to be headed. Everything you have there, and that's mamish taking the averus and making them into zechuyas. That's mamish taking averus, making them zechuyas. If it's suppression, then the strength wanes. All the strengths from the past are lost. If it's the other way around, if it's using it, if it's attachment, then it's something completely positive. I can't imagine from this Gemara that we learn here of Rish Lakish that he didn't understand this. He did understand it. Something like you said, for sure it's an insult. You know, the way it's expressed, the communication can. He's the Baal HaMemra, right? That's what I'm saying. He's the Baal HaMemra. You can't learn it. I think without this Gemara, without this story.
What about Yochanan? You said jumping up the idea that we're not supposed to say something to Baal Tshuva to remind them of.
Right. That's how it ended up hurting. That's you're correct.
Maybe.
But then see what it's kicked off. Okay, Mi'at Hashem, next time we'll continue with Perek Gimel.